I'd like to give you all an overview of our research. Our primary research objective was to determine whether children with special health care needs were more likely to remain in New Jersey's State Children's Health Insurance Program, or SCHIP, and less likely to become uninsured than children without special health care needs. Essentially, we wanted to see if less healthy children were more likely to stay insured. In other words, is there differential retention? As most of you may know, the State Children's Health Insurance Program was established in 1997 by the federal government to provide health insurance for children and families who did not make enough to afford private insurance but made too much to be eligible for Medicaid. There are SCHIP programs in every state, and as of last year, 6 million children in the United States were covered by the program. Overall, the number of uninsured children has decreased by about a third since the inception, despite the decline in employer-sponsored coverage. This program is quite popular with the public, as evidenced by many surveys, including a recent Kaiser poll that found that about 70% of Americans are supportive of the program. New Jersey's SCHIP initiative is called New Jersey Family Care, and about 122,000 children are enrolled. It currently has the highest income eligibility level at 350% of the federal poverty level, which is about $70,000 for a family of four. As you may have heard earlier, children with special health care needs are those children that require more services than children generally. These can include children with a wide range of chronic conditions, from diabetes to cystic fibrosis. According to the 2001 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs, over 9 million children in the U.S. Have been identified as children with special health care needs, which is about 13% of the population of children. Even though they compose only a small percentage of children, they consume roughly 40% of the total health care costs. And it's not surprising because these children, as I mentioned earlier, use more health services than others. For this study, we used data from the 2003 New Jersey Family Care Survey, which was a supplement to the 2001 New Jersey Family Health Survey. It was conducted by Rutgers Center for State Health Policy, and children were randomly selected from the universe of children enrolled in New Jersey Family Care as of May 2002. 679 families were selected a year later in 2003 with a 52% response rate. The survey asked questions regarding demographic factors, children's health status, and enrollment and renewal in New Jersey Family Care. Comparing this sample with the universe of children enrolled, it appears that our sample overrepresents older children, males, and Hispanic children. All data were weighted to reflect the state-level population enrolled as of May 2002. So how were children with special health care needs identified? We used the Children with Special Health Care Needs Screener, which is a non-categorical approach to detecting children with special needs. Instead of enumerating several conditions, the screener asks about five areas of need, including prescription medicine, medical care services, and so on. It allows children with a broad range of chronic conditions to be identified without asking about each condition specifically. To be identified as a child with special health care needs, the respondent must answer yes to the children having one of the five health consequences and yes to the condition lasting 12 months or longer. The question used to identify children who needed or used prescription medicine is shown here. If the parents answer yes to both questions, then the child is identified as having special needs. And how common were each of these special needs in our survey, in our population? Well, across the bottom, you can see the five areas of health consequences in order from most common to least common, as well as the overall figure for children who had any one or more of these needs. About 15% of the children had medication prescribed by a doctor because of any medical, behavioral, or health condition, followed by increased use of health services. This general order of needs from prescriptions to special therapy is consistent with other studies. As you can see on the red bar on the far right, about 1 in 5 children have special health care needs in our sample, which is within the range found in other studies. Final enrollment status in New Jersey Family Care, the main outcome variable, originally had 4 possible responses: being enrolled in New Jersey Family Care or Medicaid, which was the majority of children at 88%, being disenrolled from New Jersey Family Care but still insured, being disenrolled, uninsured, but still eligible for the program, and being disenrolled, uninsured, and not eligible. We We omitted the last category because there were only two cases that no longer met the age and income requirements of the program. Children who were disenrolled but still insured, which was about 7% of our sample, it would include children who have dropped out of SCHIP but are still covered, often through parents' employer-sponsored insurance. Final enrollment status answers were verified by program administrative records. As I said, we use this as the main outcome variable in our analysis. We also controlled for several demographic variables, including age, sex, race, ethnicity, and NJFC plan level. Age was categorized into three groups according to previous literature, and as you can see in the pie chart, there were four racial ethnic categories, with the largest group being non-Hispanic white, followed by about a third Hispanic. New Jersey Family Care has four plan levels, each determined by a family's income as a percentage of the federal poverty level. Plan A covers children and families with incomes below 133% of the federal poverty level. Plan B covers between 133% and 150%. Plan C covers between 150% and 200%. And Plan D covers 200% to 350% of federal poverty level. Plan C and D include cost sharing in the form of premiums and co-payments. As you can see, plans B and C were combined because they span such a small range of incomes. And the figures in parentheses indicate incomes for a family of four. We had a two-part analysis plan for our study. In the first step, we estimated a logistic regression of predicting which children were more likely to have special health care needs. In the second part of our analysis, which was the focus on differential retention, in other words, whether health status plays a role in whether children remain enrolled, we used multinomial logistic regressions to predict final enrollment status. We compared odds of children being disenrolled and uninsured, as well as being disenrolled but still having insurance, compared to children who remained enrolled in the program. And for each of these regressions, we controlled for the factors seen here. So, which children have special health care needs? To consider the effects of demographic factors, as well as NJ Family Care plan level, we use a logistic model to determine the odds of children having special health care needs. The various demographic factors are listed along the bottom and the odds ratios along the y-axis, and there's a bold orange line to represent an odds ratio of 1. As you can see, older children had higher odds of having special health care needs, and boys were also significantly more likely to have special health care needs. New Jersey Family Care plan level was also significantly related to having special health care needs, with children in plans B and C, which covers 133 to 200% of federal poverty level, being more likely than children in plan A to have special health care needs. To answer our main question of whether differential retention was occurring, we examined which children were disenrolled from SCHIP and uninsured. This comparison is of greatest importance to our research because these children, by definition, use more services than other children, and therefore insurance is especially critical for them. Once again, the significant determinants are in yellow, and fortunately, we found that children with special health care needs had significantly lower odds of being disenrolled and uninsured compared to children without special health care needs. In fact, they only had 1/4 of the chances of being disenrolled and uninsured when controlling for the other factors. Hispanic children were also associated with higher odds of being disenrolled and uninsured compared to non-Hispanic white children, and this is consistent with other studies that find higher levels of uninsurance with Hispanic children. Now, how do children who are disenrolled from SCHIP but still insured compare to children still enrolled in the program? It appears that both children in both categories were similar in special health care needs status, age, sex, and race ethnicity. The one difference we found was that children in Plan D, which is those children and families with incomes 200 to 350% of federal poverty level, were more likely to be disenrolled but still insured. Children in Plan D have parents who are probably more likely to be offered employer-based insurance, so this is not terribly surprising. Additionally, the children with special needs and families with lower incomes, those in plans A, B, and C, may find it harder to leave SCHIP because other insurance may have pre-existing condition clauses, whereas SCHIP legislation specifically forbids cherry picking. So in conclusion, is there differential retention of children with special health care needs in New Jersey family care? We found that yes, there is, as children with special needs have only a quarter of the chances of being disenrolled and uninsured. In other words, a higher proportion of children with special health care needs still have insurance, whether through SCHIP or other insurance, often employer-based. And there are three perspectives on these findings that we found. The first two deal with children, groups especially interested in the health of these children, the families, and child health advocates. It appears that families understand the importance of health coverage for their children, which is great. And a couple concerns that child health advocates could have is the adequacy and the continuity of the coverage. In other words, how well this coverage meets their child's needs, as well as access to health care providers and the financial burden on the family. Additionally, other studies have found that children with gaps in coverage often have equally poor health outcomes as children who have been uninsured for the entire year. Finally, for the SCHIP program administrators, since differential retention appears to be occurring, this could obviously increase the cost for the program as these children use more services. But before considering these increased costs due to differential retention, we have to realize that this is but a drop in the bucket compared to the huge federal shortfall for this program, as I'm sure many of you know. According to the Center for Budget Policy and Priorities, 14 states face a combined shortfall of $745 million. As many of you are aware, SCHIP is being debated in the Congress right now, and the program is up for reauthorization this year. By August, the House and the Senate had passed legislation to expand the program by $35 billion over 5 years to cover 10 million children. In October, President Bush vetoed this legislation, and he recommended a $5 million increase to focus more on lower-income children. There are too many points of contention to really get into right here, but the main issues are the costs, as I said before, and philosophical issues and the government's role in healthcare. Some people believe that this may be an expansion of government-run healthcare. The strengths and weaknesses of this study include the validity of the Children with Special Health Care Needs Screener, which is highly correlated with other measures in our study, including asthma and parent-rated health. It also picks up a wider range of chronic conditions and is increasingly used in national health surveys. Also, our final enrollment status was verified through administrative records. A couple weaknesses include the fact that special health care needs and final enrollment status were measured at the same time. However, the chronic nature of these conditions suggests that they probably were existing the year prior. Also, we had a relatively small sample size of 675 children, so larger studies across several states could help verify these findings. So finally, there are three major points that I want to make. The first is older children, boys, and children in New Jersey Family Care Plans, BNC, are more likely to have special health care needs. Children with special health care needs are equally likely as children without such needs to be disenrolled but still have other insurance. And most importantly, children with special health care needs are less likely than children without special health care needs to be disenrolled from SCHIP and uninsured. Thank you very much. Sure. Any questions? Great. I'm not particularly certain, but I have a co-author here that might know, or someone in the audience.
I think it is. I was wondering. I was answering a question of my own about why the children in Plan A were less likely to have special health care needs, and I suspect it may be because kids who fall in that income group would be SSI eligible and would be on Medicaid based on SSI, so that you're probably seeing the kids who don't quite make it into SSI.
think that's a good idea. I believe our data did not have it by particular condition, but we did have it. We could figure out how many needs the child had. And I believe we did look at that, and I don't think there were differences, but I'm not positive.
I don't think we found it out that far.
Thank you.
I mean, of course, there is also the point that the child on asthma who's carefully managed and taking medication could turn into the child whose needs are not so moderate if they were not covered by SCHIP and therefore didn't have... But just acknowledging... I think it would be interesting to know, though, if it's because of a broader definition of children with special health care needs. Many states did not carve out SSI populations from Medicaid long before the public health world had proposed a broader definition of children with special health care needs. So I'm not sure that those two are related. And it's always worth talking about whether carve-outs are a good thing or a bad thing in different